The air in East Austin was thick with the humid stillness that precedes a central Texas storm. It was May 11th, 2022, a Wednesday night like any other in a neighborhood known for its quiet residential charm and proximity to the city's vibrant core. Shortly before 10 o'clock, a frantic call pierced the silence of the local dispatch center. A woman had returned home to her apartment on Maple Avenue, only to find the door unlocked and the interior bathed in a disturbing, heavy silence. She pushed through the entrance and moved toward the bathroom, where the light spilled onto a scene that would fundamentally alter the landscape of professional sports and criminal forensics in the state. Lying on the floor was a young woman, unresponsive and surrounded by a growing pool of blood. First responders arrived within minutes, navigating the narrow streets to reach the residence. They found the victim with multiple gunshot wounds to her head and chest. Despite the immediate application of life-saving measures and the rhythmic, desperate compressions of CPR, the spark of life had already vanished. The scene was preserved under the cold glow of flashlights and police floodlights. A high-end racing bicycle sat discarded nearby, a silent witness to the violence that had unfolded just moments after the victim had been dropped off by a friend. By 10:10 p.m., a doctor officially pronounced the death of Anna Mariah Wilson. My involvement began the following morning as we started the process of piecing together the final hours of a woman the world knew as a rising star in the gravel cycling circuit. We learned that Wilson had arrived in Austin just one day prior, traveling from Vermont to compete in the upcoming Gravel Locos race. She was staying with a close friend, Caitlin Cash, who was the individual who made the discovery. Our initial canvas of the neighborhood yielded the first critical piece of evidence. A neighbor's security camera had captured a black SUV, later identified as a Jeep Grand Cherokee, with a distinctive chrome trim and a bike rack, slowing down and coming to a stop directly next to the Maple Avenue residence at 8:37 p.m. This was approximately 1 minute after Wilson had been dropped off by another professional cyclist, Colin Strickland. We brought Strickland in for questioning almost immediately. He was cooperative, but visibly shaken. He admitted to picking Wilson up earlier that evening for a swim at the Deep Eddy Municipal Pool, followed by dinner at a local burger joint. Strickland initially attempted to downplay the nature of their relationship, but eventually confessed to a brief romantic entanglement with Wilson during a period when he was separated from his long-term girlfriend. That girlfriend was a 34-year-old yoga instructor and real estate agent named Caitlin Armstrong. Strickland told us he had gone to great lengths to hide his continued communication with Wilson from Armstrong, even changing Wilson's name in his phone to a pseudonym and deleting their text history. As we dug deeper into the domestic life of Strickland and Armstrong, the motive began to crystallize with frightening clarity. We discovered that Armstrong had access to Strickland's social media and email accounts. She had been monitoring his interactions and had previously expressed intense jealousy regarding Wilson. A search warrant for the residence Armstrong shared with Strickland led to the seizure of two firearms. One was a Sig Sauer P365 9mm handgun that Strickland had purchased for Armstrong just months earlier. On May 12th, we brought Armstrong in for questioning on an unrelated outstanding misdemeanor warrant for theft. During the interview, I presented her with the video evidence of her Jeep at the crime scene. She remained largely silent, offering no explanation for her vehicle's presence or her whereabouts at the time of the murder. Due to a technical error in the birth date listed on the warrant, we were forced to release her. By the time we secured a formal arrest warrant for first-degree murder on May 17th, Armstrong had vanished. She had sold her Jeep for over $12,000 and fled the city. We tracked her movements from Austin to Houston, then to New York City, and eventually to Newark Liberty International Airport. From there, she used her sister's passport to board a flight to San Jose, Costa Rica. The investigation shifted into an international manhunt involving the U.S. Marshals and local Costa Rican authorities as we worked to locate a woman who was actively scrubbing her identity. The forensic evidence we gathered was a masterclass in digital and physical tracking. While Armstrong was on the run, our digital forensics unit extracted a wealth of data from her abandoned devices and the navigation system of her Jeep. We found that she had been using the fitness application Strava to track Wilson's cycling routes and training sessions. This allowed her to pinpoint exactly where Wilson was staying and what her schedule looked like on the day of the murder. On May 1st, 10 days before the shooting, Armstrong's phone showed she had accessed and cached multiple photos of Wilson from Instagram. On the night of the crime, the Jeep's O-Connect system recorded the vehicle circling the East Austin apartment for over an hour before parking nearby. At 9:15 p.m., the sound of Wilson screaming, followed by three distinct gunshots, was captured on a neighbor's doorbell camera. The technical data showed the Jeep leaving the area just 2 minutes later, returning directly to the home, Armstrong shared with Strickland. The physical evidence at the scene was equally damning. Ballistics experts performed a comparison between the shell casings found near Wilson's body and the Sig Sauer handgun seized from Armstrong's home. The marks on the brass were a match, indicating the bullets were fired from the gun gifted to her by Strickland. Furthermore, DNA analysts located Armstrong's biological material on the handlebars and the seat of Wilson's discarded bicycle. This placed her in direct physical contact with the victim's property at the scene of the crime. For 43 days, Armstrong remained at large in Costa Rica. She had settled in the town of Santa Teresa, where she assumed various aliases and attempted to start a new life as a yoga instructor. To further evade detection, she underwent $6,000 worth of plastic surgery to change the shape of her nose and dyed her hair a dark brown. U.S. with Marshals eventually lured her out by placing a fraudulent advertisement for a yoga teacher on social media. When she was apprehended at a hostel on June 29th, she was wearing a bandage on her nose, which she claimed was the result of a surfing accident. She was extradited back to Texas to face trial. Even while in custody, Armstrong's defiance continued. In October 2023, while being transported to a medical appointment, she led officers on a foot chase in an attempt to escape. She was recaptured after about 10 minutes. The trial began on October 30, 2023, in a Travis County courtroom. Over the course of 9 days, we presented 38 witnesses and a mountain of forensic data. The defense argued that the evidence was circumstantial and that there were no direct witnesses to the shooting, but the weight of the GPS tracking and the DNA on the bike proved insurmountable. The jury deliberated for only 2 hours before returning a guilty verdict for the charge of first-degree murder. The finality of the case came during the sentencing phase on November 17, 2023. The courtroom was filled with the families of both the victim and the defendant. Members of the Wilson family provided powerful testimony regarding the loss of a daughter who was described as a force of nature and a kind spirit. They spoke of the void left in the cycling community and the personal devastation of losing a loved one to a senseless act of violence. Caitlin Armstrong chose not to testify on her own behalf. After 3 hours of deliberation, the 12-member jury sentenced her to 90 years in state prison. Under Texas law, she will be required to serve at least 30 years before she becomes eligible for parole. In addition to the prison sentence, she was ordered to pay a $10,000 fine. The legal proceedings did not end with the criminal conviction. In May 2024, Wilson's parents filed a civil wrongful death lawsuit against Armstrong. The court subsequently ordered Armstrong to pay $15 million in damages to the Wilson family. This judgment ensures that any potential future assets or earnings Armstrong might receive, including those from media portrayals of her crime, will be directed toward the victim's estate. Armstrong is currently serving her sentence at the Dr. Lane Murray Unit. The case stands as a definitive record of how digital footprints and forensic ballistics can bridge the gap between a silent crime scene and a successful prosecution.